are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On Pacers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We can get a daily dose of great information about your favorite NBA and NFL team, including the Pacers, right here. My name is Tom Lewis of IndyCornrows.com, always here to bring you the latest news and notes about the Pacers, sharing what I see and hear. And today we are talking about the Pacers' 110-94 win over the Charlotte Hornets at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. Big win for the Pacers after getting clobbered by the Hornets in their first meeting earlier in the season. As a tasty subplot, the Pacers played the game without Monte Ellis, who was sitting out with a strained groin. So before the game, Nate McMillan addressed a series of questions about Ellis and the potential for Glenn Robinson III to supplant him in the starting lineup. And I'll share that conversation with you. It was pretty interesting to hear McMillan's comments and defense of Ellis, while also touching on the circumstances that find Robinson starting at the two and how he could possibly stay in that lineup. And then, you know, we'll look at how Robinson actually did in the game. But before we dive in, a quick reminder to check in any questions or comments via email at indycornrows@gmail.com and on Twitter at indycornrows. So let's get going. Now, the Pacers were embarrassed by the Hornets in their last meeting in Charlotte. And this time around, the old blue and gold was ready to go from the tip. Finished the first quarter with a 25-20 lead. Paul George got him going early. And that was far better than the last time the two teams met, when the Hornets put 43 points on the Pacers. And at the half, Pacers were only up 45-43. But when you look back at that last matchup, the Hornets scored 75 points in the first half. So things were much different at the Fieldhouse this time around. And the game was being played on the Pacers' terms. They didn't want to get into that kind of a shootout with a team with the firepower that the Hornets have. And they didn't. They were able to avoid it. So big effort on both ends of the floor as the Pacers turned it up, and Miles Turner in particular ended up being the star of the game. He had some big buckets down the stretch, finished with 22 points, 7 rebounds, and 4 blocks. He also made 4 of 7 three-point shots, including a nifty little step-back 3 late in the fourth, which really buried the Hornets for good. So great effort by Turner to come up big down the stretch. Of course, Paul George did his thing. I mentioned him getting going early. He also made 3 three-pointers of his own. He finished with 22 points. And speaking of threes, Jeff Teague, he made all 3 of his three-point attempts. Had a nice night at the point guard matchup against Kemba Walker. He finished with 16 points and 11 assists. As a whole, the Pacers had a season high 17 three-pointers on 36 attempts, and in their last 3 games, they've made 46 threes, which is a little short of twice as many as they've been averaging throughout the season. So obviously it helps having CJ Miles back healthy and available, as a full roster has been available to fire up those threes. But you know, when Paul George is hitting his, and then you get a little boost from from Jeff Teague, who has struggled at times from three, and tonight, Miles Turner, you're going to have a lot more firepower to deal with a team like the Hornets, who are still above the Pacers in the win-loss column in the Eastern Conference, but only by 1 game now. After this game, the Pacers jumped up to 7th in the East, thanks to a loss by Milwaukee and the Hawks and Pistons being idle. So Pacers are back above 500 for the first time since beating the Mavericks in Game 1. So for once, they were able to break that streak of alternating between wins and losses and got it done tonight at the Fieldhouse, big time. So the defense, again, solid, held the Hornets down to 94 points and really kept the lid on Kemba Walker. Now, Walker was possibly still dealing with a little bit of a knee, although he put in a pretty good effort out there and, you know, played 35 minutes. So didn't seem that hampered, but he did finish the game with 12 points but needed 16 shots. And it seemed like the Pacers just kind of picked up where they left off after adjusting to Damian Lillard on Saturday and finding a way to slow him down late in the game. They kind of applied that same attack to Walker, and it all worked. But again, the big picture story for this game is Bill Robinson III starting at shooting guard with Monte Ellis sidelined by the strained groin. Now, prior to the game, as I mentioned, McMillan gave a strong defense for Ellis while discussing the situation and the potential for Robinson to, you know, maybe seize a spot in the lineup with a chance to play. We did learn that Ellis will not travel with the team for the next three games that are on the road, so Robinson will get an extended look. And, you know, before we kind of discuss how he did in his game against the Hornets, I want to share with you what McMillan had to say before the game on the situation and kind of the ripple effect of playing without Monte.
Do you know the extent of Monte's injury, how long he might be out?
Well, he won't travel on this upcoming trip, so he'll miss the next three games, and we'll look at him, reevaluate him after that trip. It's a strain, is what I'm told, and we're going to leave him here and let him get treated.
I'm sure you're aware a lot, there's some sentiment out there that, you know, you need a change to that position. Is this in any way an audition for Glenn Robinson Jr. at that spot? Or?
No, it's what it is. I mean, he was in our lineup, and with the injury, we're going to go with Glenn. Glenn has done a good job of stepping in for Paul when he was out. And, you know, we've had several guys that have to had to fill in, you know, this season so far. So, no, I mean, it's an injury. He's out. We put another guy in place of him.
Coach, 24 games in. Are you comfortable with the rotation that you have now? Are you still trying to figure out what type of rotation you're going to go with? I'm talking past the starters. Are you comfortable with what you got and where you're going and what you're going to be doing going forward with your lineups?
Well, we have to adapt to, you know, situations that has happened. You know, we've had injuries seem like throughout this short season, and guys got to be ready to step in and play. You know, we now put Glenn in place of Monte. You know, CJ will be back at his position at the small forward spot. That leaves some minutes for possibly Lavoie to play or get minutes back at the four position. So we have guys that are ready to play and available to play, and we're going to need them to step up.
What goes into your thought process, and has it always been this way? You've coached a lot of places. If a guy is struggling in the first half, let's say Monte, mm-hmm. and another guy is not, let's say CJ Miles, and yet you bring out the same starting five in the second half consistently, what goes into that for you?
I mean, so much goes into that, you know, and, you know, struggles. I mean, who's saying he's struggling?
Me?
I mean, well, then I'm not looking at what you were saying. I'm looking at what, you know, what's best for the team, and what you try to do is put your players in position where they can be productive.
Well, I wonder when you talk, one thing I was getting at, and I'll get at right here directly, is how much of it are you thinking whoever the guy might be that gets benched, does that psychologically hurt him, the team, whatever? Is there an ego thing involved with that?
Yeah, of course. You certainly have to look at everything, you know. Monte was brought here to be a starter and to play that, I don't think, 25 games into the season with the number of injuries. You know, you look at situations like that and you, you know, change the lineup. We're gonna put the best players out there to give us the best chance to win. And you try to get a rotation that is productive for both the players and the team. And that's what we've and trying to do.
Nate, if Glenn does play well again in this role and the team wins with him in it, do you reconsider that at the end of the stretch?
You certainly have to look at that. You know, you certainly, I mean, I'm go to the Cowboys. I mean, of course. I mean, you certainly look at that. We're focusing on tonight's game and not 5, 6, maybe 7 games from now. You know, the focus is night to night, you know, putting the players out there that best give you the chance to win. Glenn will get that opportunity tonight, and we'll see what happens. We hope that he comes in and do the things that he's been doing. We don't want to put pressure on him to try to come out and do anything other than defend, allow the game to come to him. And, you know, the rest of our guys have to be ready to play. Lavoie, who hasn't played in a number of games due to, you know, somewhat change in the rotation with playing small basketball with Glenn and CJ coming off the bench, we'll get those minutes tonight. So we're going to need everybody to play well.
Coach, I guess it's a good problem to have when you got a kid like Glenn that can play multiple positions and step up and give you positive minutes on a regular basis. Talk to us about that.
Well, it's a different night, new ball game tonight. You know, he's done some good things for us when he has been in that starting position, and he'll get that call again tonight.
What does he need to do? Does he have any hole in his game that you'd like to see? Okay, if you get that fixed, you're going to get a lot of minutes the rest of the year. Is there any one word for or anything, any area for that?
Well, what I've told him is defensively. I'm looking at what he's doing defensively. Offensively, let the game come to you. We need rebounding. We need defense at that position. You know, playing alongside of Paul. Offensively, you know, when you're open, take the shot. Don't try to do too much. Allow the game to come to you. But I'm looking at what you give us on the defensive end of the floor. And we also need rebound.
Not just switches, but can either Glenn or Paul take Kimba if need to be to cover him, like for long stretches?
We could look at Paul.
Not Glenn.
We don't know right now.
Coach, how different is Glenn when he's starting at a 3 versus a 2, a player like that? Does he have a different role? Does he have to know a different set of plays? For example, when he was starting for Paul versus now starting for Monte, does he have to know a completely different role? And is that a
no
challenge?
Question. It's a different role in a sense of he's on a different side of the floor. You know, he's put in different situations. A lot of times Monte was initiating some things for us offensively. So it is somewhat of a change from the 3 to the 4 position. And I think the biggest change is just, you know, being on a different side of the floor, you know, initiating some things as far as out of bounds, sets a little different where he's positioned. So, yes, he was put to the test today, and I'm waiting for that test, that paper to come in where he had to draw up some plays. So, yes, it is different.
Is that challenging as a player mentally to have to know a completely different scheme, if you will?
Well, you know, I was a point guard, so I felt like I knew all positions. And I think, you know, players need to know all positions and what they're supposed to do and the execution of those positions. And, you know, when you have that ability to be able to move from one position to another, I mean, it really strengthens your team and just puts a huge value on a player that's capable of doing that. I mean, because, I mean, just look at this situation. Glenn now goes from 3 to 2. And if, you know, he can make that productive and, you know, slide into that spot, just makes him very valuable.
Nate, you talked this morning about the versatility of Glenn and some other guys like him. How much easier does it make that on you when something like this happens with Monte, and how does it compare to other places you've been in terms of versatility when it comes to looking at your roster?
Well, when you have a player that has that versatility and you're able to move that player in different positions, again, it's just it's a huge value on a player like that who can play 1, 2, 3, possibly 4 positions. It allows you to, you know, attack, you know, strategize different as far as what you want to do with that player offensively and defensively. We just talked about, you know, if that guy has the ability to switch, you can do something like that. And, you know, so, you know, the one thing that it does give us is, you know, size at the two and the three position, a little bit more length. And, you know, we're hoping that also it helps with the rebound.
Nate, obviously, you know, Monte's a guy whose name comes up a lot in discussions out in our world. What's your evaluation of how he's played? Paul suggests that maybe he was frustrated, hadn't gotten into a rhythm. You know, what is your analysis?
Well, I think that's part of it. I think that's part of it. You're talking about a number of guys who have played with the basketball, and it's only one basketball out there. And I think he has, you know, basically tried to allow the ball movement as opposed to, you know, demanding the ball. Being as aggressive as we've seen him in his career with the ball, and you know, really trying to fit into a system that, as I mentioned, is one basketball out there. A lot of our guys, they need the basketball to be able to be productive. And I think what you guys are saying is because he hasn't been productive, he hasn't had the basketball a lot. You know, I think he's tried to fit in. You know, he plays, he comes to work every single day. He shows up every single day. He plays hard every single day. And, you know, that's what we're looking for.
But does it also suggest that maybe the better fit would be someone that can succeed without, that doesn't need the ball, that doesn't need the ball to be a productive player?
Yeah, I mean, I mean, in a sense, that's, Glenn will be kind of in that role tonight. Where, you know, a lot of the calls are going to be for Paul and certainly for Jeff and Miles. And that's where you need to allow the game to come to you and not try to force anything. So
Paul initiated a lot of stuff late in the game on Saturday. Would that be the case? As you're saying, he would have more calls for him, or he'd be initiating the offense.
Yeah, we're gonna play through our, you know, our guys who make good decisions with the basketball. Certainly, Paul is going to, you know, get his opportunities, and where we see opportunities to try to take advantage of our opponent, we're gonna call those sets. You know, Jeff or Miles, you know, CJ. Thaddeus, I mean, we try to take advantage of matchups that we feel our guys can be productive. You know, that could be Stucky. So, but Paul certainly is a guy going down a stretch that you want to get the ball in his hands.
Was there any thought given to Stucky here? To just, with Monte being out, you needed Stucky with the second unit?
I would like Stucky where he's at. You know, Glenn has stepped into that position, and you know, he, you know, he's just sliding to the other side of the floor. So we'll see what he looks like with Paul.
Stucky in the past has kind of indicated a preference to coming off the bench. Do you think that's still the case with him?
No question. He certainly, a lot of guys prefer coming off the bench than starting. So he's comfortable where he's at. I'm comfortable where he's at, and I think he's doing some good things with that second group. And, you know, we're going to keep him there.
Your pattern all season has been to follow up your best wins with bad losses, so to speak, and follow up those losses with great wins. They've kind of gone back and forth. How do you get out of that pattern?
Win tonight.
Monte Romo? I like how Coach McMillan kind of left open the options he may have with Monte and Glenn Robinson III, depending upon who plays well, and who knows, maybe Glenn Robinson III will be that Dak Prescott type of player and keep Monte on the bench when he returns. We shall see. But of course, McMillan and everybody else has to see some proof that Robinson can live up to what fans hope he can be as a starting shooting guard potentially for the Pacers. So how did he do in his first start after two? Well, I thought he did pretty darn well. Now, he only scored 3 points. If you're going to look at the stat line, you're going to think maybe he didn't do a lot. But he collected 6 rebounds, several from out of his position, a lot of hustle boards, a couple of key runs in the second half. He blocked three shots, and really he gave a Swiss Army knife type of performance that fit nicely with that starting unit. And as you heard McMillan mention, almost admitting, thanks to Conrad Brunner questioning him perfectly, that, you know, maybe a guy who doesn't demand the ball like Monte is a better fit within that group with T and Paul George. And what we saw from Robinson today is kind of playing that role. He's a fifth option. He's a guy out there to do dirty work, energy guy. He gave all that energy and effort in this game, and he's has length, can play good defense, and that's something, as McMillan mentioned, that he's going to continue to show, is that he can defend. And if he can be that defensive 3-and-D guy who can fill the gaps and play a variety of players on the defensive end while also knocking down shots when he's left open as that fifth option, he could be a real nice fit. So we saw some good potential from Robinson, even if his stat line doesn't jump off the sheet. What does jump off the sheet is the defensive effort the Pacers had overall and the fact that they beat a very strong Charlotte Hornets team. So I think it was a plus performance for Robinson to start out, and we'll see how he moves on from here, what he learns, and how he continues to adjust in this role. As I mentioned, Robinson's mainly been playing the three, but he does know both positions, the three and the two. And really, that wing spot is a little more interchangeable than maybe McMillan wanted to admit, at least the way that he and PG can play. So it looked like a good fit in game one. So we will find out if it continues when the Pacers play Miami on Wednesday. Now, one other note, Roy Hibbert was in town and played for the Hornets. He actually played a reserve role. He finished with 6 points and three rebounds, which was matched by Al Jefferson. And Al missed a few shots early in the game in the first half, but he went to work on Roy a little bit in the second half, again, helping the Pacers mount that late rally to move in control of the game. And it kind of looked the way it did a couple of years ago when Jefferson was wearing the Hornets uni and Roy was in the Pacers uni. He used to have his way with the Pacers. One of the few guys that had success against Roy when he was at his peak defensive capabilities with the Pacers. But it's good to see Roy playing and with some energy and smile on his face after the game. Roy and Paul George had a real heartfelt hug and discussion on the court before parting ways. So, you know, it's always good to see Roy Hibbert smiling, and it seems like it's been quite a while since we saw that. Now, it's also always nice to see the Pacers smiling, including Nate McMillan, which was the case after they beat the Hornets and moved above 500 for the first time since game one of the season. So we'll see how the Pacers move on from here as they hit the road and take on the Miami Heat, an ESPN game on Wednesday night. All right, thanks again for listening, and don't forget to reach out with any questions or comments. Email me at indycornrows@gmail.com or reach out via Twitter at indycornrows. As always, you can find the pod on audioboom.com or subscribe via iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Google Play, where all episodes are available. So please check them out. And that's all for now. You've been listening to Locked On Pacers on the Locked On Podcast Network. You got it.